Should we pray? Lord, I ask you to bless this time. Give us open hearts and open minds to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. I've always liked the story of Jesus' baptism. It feels, in many respects, like this is when the gospel properly gets started. In all four gospels, it's the first introduction we get to the adult Jesus. And this affirmation of Jesus at the very start of his ministry seems like a great passage for us at the beginning of a new year, when we so often think of new starts, new resolutions. In it, we see all three parts of the Trinity together in this powerful and beautiful moment. We have the Son. Luke tells us very simply, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. Jesus, as he so often is there experiencing life alongside others, meeting them where they are in all his humanity. We have the Father in this extraordinary moment when the heavens open and the voice of God speaks. And this awesomeness, this spectacle, results not in words of judgment or instruction, but affirmation and love. Words not based on Jesus' actions. After all, at this point, he's not really started his ministry. But words simply affirming and valuing him for who he is and his identity in God. We see the same sort of approach from God to Israel in the reading from Isaiah. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. You are precious and honored in my sight. Affirmation and love, not based on what Israel had done. After all, a theme of the Old Testament is surely Israel letting God down time and time again. But because God created them, God loved them, God called them by name. Words of affirmation based on who they are, on their identity in God. So we have the Son present with the people. We have the Father speaking words of love. And we have the Spirit descending like a dove. Now, I'm told by people much cleverer, or I read from reading people who are much cleverer than I am, that the word they use for the Holy Spirit in this passage and throughout the New Testament is pneuma. It's God's pneuma that descends onto Jesus. Now, interestingly, this word, as well as spirit, also is used to mean air and breath. We still sort of use the same source word in anything to do with air. So air-powered things are pneumatic. In medicine, the operation where your lung is removed is a pneumonectomy. If air leaks out of your lungs into your chest cavity, it's a pneumothorax. It comes from the verb meaning to breathe. I think the early church recognized a beautiful way for us to think about the Spirit of God, the pneuma of God, the breath of God. When we breathe, we take air deep inside us, where it brings us life. The breath of God that hovered over the waters in Genesis at creation is again over the waters at baptism, breathing life into humans at creation, breathing new life into us at baptism. Now, I don't want to make this talk too medically technical, but breathing is pretty important. Each day, we all breathe more than 20,000 times. I don't know if you've given much thought to how you breathe. It sort of feels like you just pull air in and that makes your chest expand, like a balloon getting bigger as air enters it. But in reality, it's the other way around. First, your chest gets bigger, your ribs move up and out, your diaphragm pushes down, and then that resultant change of pressure pulls air in. First, we make space, and then the breath enters. And in the same way, to breathe in the pneuma of God, we first need to make space for God. So what does it mean to make space for God? Well, first, I suggest it's about priorities. When we breathe, as I say, in order to make space, other organs are literally pushed out of the way. As your diaphragm moves down, it squashes your liver, your kidneys, your spleen, all down to make space. Now, none of those organs are bad. Of course, they're vital to keep us well. But they need to move to make space to breathe. Breathing is a priority, as without that, none of the rest matters. We have many things in our lives that are important to us that support our well-being. Family, friends, work or school, sports, hobbies, trains for some people. None of these are bad. They are important, life-sustaining and enriching things, but we cannot let them be at the expense of space for God. They need to move to make space to breathe in God's pneuma, as without that, none of the rest matters. Secondly, we need time in prayer without distractions. It's notable that Luke tells us that it's as Jesus is praying that heaven opens and the voice of God speaks and the Spirit descends. God can, of course, speak to us at any time. Look at Saul on the road to Damascus. And we can develop our relationship in and indeed through the busyness of our lives, through the people we meet and the experiences we have. But a lesson of Jesus' life is the importance of regular and honest prayer and time alone with God. The only other time in Luke's Gospel where we hear the Father's voice is in chapter 9 at the Transfiguration. Again, it occurs when Jesus was praying, when Jesus had specifically gone up a mountain to pray, removing himself from distractions. Throughout the Bible, people have experienced God on mountaintops. We speak of a mountaintop experience. And one thing that's noticeable when you're at the top of the mountain is the space. High up, not hemmed in by buildings and people and grime and all the distractions of daily life. Just you and air and wind, not restricted by anything that might get in its way and block it. We don't necessarily need to head off to the Lake District, but we do need to make space for God. Make space in our busy lives. Life can be so noisy, so crowded. Deadlines and meetings, things to do, people to see, things to remember. Spending time with friends, spending time with family. Do we find time to make space for God? Make space in our plans, our aspirations, our hope for the year or years ahead. Perhaps you're a planner, have everything mapped out. Some people make 5-year plans. What do I expect to be doing? Where do I expect to be? There's nothing wrong with any of that, but do we make space for God to be part of it? And do we make space for God to do something different? In the verses immediately after the baptism that we've just read, Luke tells us that Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the pneuma, is led by the Holy Spirit, the pneuma, into the desert. God's plans may not be our plans. History is filled with people whose lives were turned upside down by the unexpected direction that God took them. Do we make space for his pneuma to lead us somewhere different? Would we hear the call? How might we respond? And are we making space for God in our expectations of what may happen, of what's possible, of what God can do? I'm sure we all have our own worries and anxieties, maybe about things personal to us, work, children, difficult social or personal circumstances. Or perhaps it's wider things, political change, conflict, the environment. Do we think that some conflicts are too deeply rooted to be resolved, or at least not for decades? That some issues we face are too ingrained, too stubborn? Do we limit our expectations of what God can do for us, for our communities, for our church? In the attitude with which we face our lives and our world, can we make space for hope in the power of our resurrection Lord? Perhaps we can use this new year as a time to make space, to set aside time to come before God in prayer, not just a snatched breath of an arrow prayer here or gasp of a list of demands there, but time and space alone on the mountaintop with God. To see the world through his perspective. To see our lives through his perspective. To hear him say to each one of us, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. You are my daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." To spend time in peace and stillness and be filled in full with the presence of his pneuma, his breath, his spirit. But breathing has two aspects, breathing in and breathing out, and both are equally important. Breathing in, we take what we need to survive, to experience life in all its fullness. Breathing out, we get rid of damaging waste products, things that might hurt or limit us. It might be that in order to make space, we first need to breathe out and let go of harmful things we're holding on to. It's hard to breathe in whilst holding on to lungs full of the equivalent of waste gas. Untruths about who we are, about our identity in God, untruths we've told ourselves or that society has told us about what counts as success, where happiness can be found. In Birmingham, we're all too familiar with air pollution, the idea that we're breathing in substances that cause us harm. We might not see or feel the impact of that straight away, but it doesn't make it less harmful. What spiritual pollution have you been breathing in? Gossip, messages we see in newspapers, on social media, in adverts, telling us our value comes from how we look, what we have, driving an envy and dissatisfaction with our lives. Messages and images that sexually objectify people or dehumanize and other people from different backgrounds. We can say this is the atmosphere we live in, that we're in the world, not of the world. But breathing in this atmosphere impacts us. And if we're honest, this is not just pollution we're passively exposed to, but sin and pollution we contribute to or seek out through active choices of our own. We need to let go of these, to breathe them out in repentance. These lies about our value and the value of our brothers and sisters that are nothing but cigarette smoke for our souls. God has made us, he knows us, he loves us, and he longs to fill us with his love. And breathing out also serves other purposes. It's only breathing out that lets us talk, to sing, to share, to communicate with others, to give of ourselves to those around us and to God. We breathe out to sing a worship song, to speak a comforting word, to share our faith. We cannot simply breathe in and hold our breath. Living requires, God requires, that we breathe out and share with those around us. God's love needs to be shared. His spirit, his pneuma, is not something static we can hold on to. It requires a constant flow, flowing into us and out to the people around us. So we need both, to breathe in order to be able to breathe out, and to breathe out so we can breathe in. That was true for Jesus, who repeatedly takes time away to be with the Father during his ministry, and it's also true for us. As we start this new year, can we reflect on our own situation, our own breathing patterns? Just try breathing out as far as you can, and then keep breathing out. It's painful, you get lightheaded, and eventually it peters out. Perhaps you're in a place where you feel you've been doing that. You've been breathing out and giving of yourself constantly. And this new year is a time for you to make space, to allow yourself to catch a breath, to draw deeply on God and fill yourself with his pneuma, his spirit. If our lungs are empty, we need to breathe in before we can breathe out again. We need to make space and time for God. But equally, breathing in and simply holding our breath, eventually it becomes stale. We need to exhale and give. As James says in his letter, faith without deeds is dead. In fact, the full quote is, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Or even, as the body without the pneuma is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. This new year, is God calling you to some new way of sharing his love, of breathing out and giving to those around you? Can this be an opportunity for you to see where God might be calling you to use the gifts he's given? In church, perhaps God is nudging you to share in some new way. Children's work, prayers, tea and coffee after the service, audiovisual support. It's easy to see these things just as jobs that need doing, rotas to be filled, but they're really a way of breathing out God's love to those around us. In work, at school, in our relationships with our friends and family, are we giving the best of ourselves? Are we taking the blessings that God gives us and sharing them with those we meet? Is God prompting you? You have a role to play here. I have work for you to do. So I pray as we enter this year ahead, may we feel the need for God's Spirit, his pneuma, with the same intensity that we feel the need to breathe. May we make space for him in our lives, our plans, and our expectations. May this become as habitual and second nature to us as breathing. May we stop making space for polluting and sinful things which cause us harm, and let go of damaging lies we've believed about who we are. May we, filled with his Spirit, breathe that love to those around us. May it animate our words and actions. And may we, with each breath we take, every second of every day, be reminded that we are also filled with God's Spirit, his pneuma, every second of every day, bringing us life in all its fullness. Amen.